And you won't be bored sitting here. You'll actually look forward to coming because you want to learn more of God's word. So stand with me. Hold your Bibles up in the air. I'm going to turn off this microphone. All right. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible is
the word of God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil
every day.
This is my Bible. And my Bible is
the
word of God. And God's word
is the revelation
of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to hear, to teach, and to preach your word. Father God, I thank you that your word shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which you have sent it out to do. And Lord, I give you all praise and glory. Anoint me as your vessel to help your people in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are continuing in our series of teachings on miracles are for today. Say, miracles,
miracles
are for today. Glory to God. We have subtitled this, Confronting the Powerless Gospel with God's Word. We have a book in the back by the same name. It's more, a little more detailed than what I'm giving you in this sermon series. And it deals more with an apologetic standpoint as far as refuting certain cessationist tendencies. When I say cessationist, I mean those theologians who will tell you that God no longer works miracles today. There is so much unbelief prevailing within the United States and other countries concerning God and his miraculous works that I have found it necessary to continue to teach this message. I talk to people all the time, and a lot of people don't seem to expect God's supernatural intervention in their lives. We often hear the phrase, God is in control, or all things happen for a reason, and whatsoever will be, will be. We don't seem to expect that God will actually come in and change the situation, change the circumstance, change what we're going through to something positive. Because we don't always believe that God actually works the supernatural in our day and age. And we get a lot of help from so-called preachers who tell us these things. They tell us that miracles, God stopped working supernatural miracles of healing and divine deliverance and all miracles of other nature on the day that the last apostle died, or when the last book of the Bible was written and the canon was closed, then God had no longer a need to work miracles because he already had his written word. Which is a sorry thing to say, because the printing press didn't even come out until several centuries later, and before that, everybody had the Bible only on scrolls, and only a few people had access to those scrolls, and even during that time, most people were illiterate and could not read anyway, so the written word would have done them no good. Praise God.
Amen.
The sad thing today is people still are illiterate, or people still have a Bible in their house, and most people don't even read the thing. It sits on many coffee tables as a family heirloom, or it sits on the shelf with a collection of other books that are whatever they are. For many people, the Bible is in their house as just another piece of fine literature on the level of Shakespeare and other scholastic works. Well, the Bible is not on the same par. It is higher than every book, because this book has living, powerful words in it. Praise God.
Amen.
God's words are powerful. God puts his word above even himself. And so every word of God, listen, angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that every word, no word from God is void of miraculous power. Praise God. And so God's word has power. power in it. Now, when we started the series, we told you. Let's go to our foundation text. Go to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. We use verse 12 as our foundation text, but today I want to look at verses 12 through 14, all three of verses today. When you have it, signify by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, I wish y'all was more enthusiastic than that, but that's okay. I will press through. Glory to God. All right. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now look at verse 14. It is the verse 14 is the foundation text in which I titled that book, How to Get Anything You Want from God. Verse 14 says, if you shall ask anything, say anything,
Amen. In
my name, I will do it. Praise God.
Amen.
He said anything. Do you believe that what God says, he means? Do you believe that God would say something and mean something different?
No.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. God means what he says, and he says what he means. But yet, because sometimes we read the word of God and it seems too good to be true, then sometimes we want to try to reinterpret it to say, well, God, yes, God said this, but what he really meant was, how dare you and I to tell somebody what God really meant unless God told us what he meant. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I think God always says in plain English, Greek, Hebrew, Spanish, whatever, he always says exactly what he means. If he said anything, then he means anything. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, somebody might say, well, then Pastor Troy, does that mean I can ask God for a kilo of cocaine? Well, let's look at it again. He says anything in my name. Amen.
Amen.
Can you smoke a do you think you can smoke a crack pipe in Jesus' name?
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. No, of course not. You know, anything within the character of God. No. Can you ask God for a house?
Yes.
You can ask. There's nothing wrong asking God for a house. Now, he might say no. But you can ask. No. And, I mean, why would God deprive you of something that you need, praise God? Why would he deprive you of something that can help you? Now, he will give you a house, but now you're talking about, you get greedy, you want a 12-room mansion and all this other stuff for no other purpose than to keep up with the Joneses. Now, that's something different. But we're talking about God, asking God for things that you need for yourself and for others, praise God. You can ask anything in his name, and he will give it to you. Praise God. He will do it for you. Hallelujah. Now, when we began this series, we talked about the fact that Jesus said, greater works shall ye do, because I will go unto my Father. Praise God. And we understood that that word works is talking about miraculous works. Amen?
Amen.
We explained it thoroughly. We said, we showed you that despite what theologians tell you, it is not talking about works of feeding the poor and helping the homeless. Now, again, we should feed the poor, praise God. We have done that on many occasions. We have supported ministries that feed the poor. We will be, this church, as it grows, will be making a greater effort to help feed the poor. We should help the homeless, praise God. Amen. We have been involved in homeless ministry since the inception of this church, and we will continue to do so, and we will expand even greater, praise Jesus. Amen. But when Jesus is talking about greater works shall ye do because I go unto my Father, in that particular instance, he was not talking about feeding the poor. He was not talking about giving to the homeless. He was talking about miraculous works, supernatural works. Praise God. Amen. He was talking about the same works that he promised us in Mark chapter 16, in which he says, ye shall cast out demons. Ye shall speak in new tongues. Ye shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those are the miraculous works that Jesus is talking about in John 14, 12. Then we also learn that God never changes his mind concerning his promise. Praise God. God is not a wishy-washy God. He does not say, well, you know what? I don't feel like doing that for y'all anymore. So I know I promised it, but you know, promise is over. You can't have it anymore. No, the gifts and callings of God, the miraculous works of God, are irrevocable according to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So you can expect God to do miracles in our day and in our age. And we should be expecting and seeing a whole lot more than what we see currently. Glory to God. Oh, it's nice that we see a few healings here and there. It's nice that we see a deliverance every once in a while. But we should be seeing these things on a constant and consistent basis. And I, as your pastor, will continue to beat this into you until you get it and until you really understand it and until you say, I'm going to start doing it, glory to God.
Amen.
Instead of when somebody comes to you and say, I got a headache, and you say, oh, let me go run and get you some aspirin. You say, well, let me put my hands on you in the name of Jesus. I command that headache to go. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what you need to be start doing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with giving somebody aspirin. There is nothing wrong with that. But I have learned, even in my own life, when I had access to painkiller, to Tylenol, and when I found myself with a headache, I said, you know what? If I can't believe God for a headache, I don't think I can believe him for anything else. So I would just simply ask God, take away this headache in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And it will go. It will go. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes you just ain't drinking enough water or something. You gotta learn to do that. Instead of throwing all that medicine in your body, that stuff will kill you sometimes. Learn to eat healthy, learn to drink more water, learn to do things like that, and you'll find yourself with less headaches. Except for some of you wives who, well, anyway, I don't want to go there. Anyway, praise God. All right. I won't go there. All right. Praise God. We also looked at the fact that faith is required to appropriate the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to have faith. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So Jesus said, he that believeth on me. A lot of non-charismatic ministers say, I don't believe that God does those things today. That's why you don't see it, because you don't believe that he does them today. Praise God.
Amen.
If you believe on Jesus, then you will see the miraculous works. And we're not talking about an intellectual belief. We're talking about a true intimacy with Jesus Christ that leads to a strengthened faith in knowing that he will fulfill his word in your life and in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And last week, we talked about the fact that miracles are done under the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And we saw that if the name of Jesus can no longer work miracles today, then there's no guarantee that the name of Jesus can bring me salvation today. Amen?
Amen.
See, the Bible says there's only one name under heaven by which man can be saved, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. You see, if Jesus' name doesn't do miracles like God promised, if that passed away, how do I know God didn't change his mind about my salvation? What if I die and I go before the throne of God, and God says, well, you know, Troy, yeah, back in the first and a couple of second centuries, I said, yeah, I will offer salvation in Jesus' name. But you know what? I've changed my mind. Don't want y'all here. Send him to hell. What if he does that? You think God would do that? He wouldn't do that, would he? Most of us know he wouldn't do that. However, we are quick to accuse God of doing other things, of changing his mind about miracles. If God would change his mind about miracles, it's possible for him to change his mind about salvation. Praise God. Amen. However, we learned that the name of Jesus gives us, his people, authority to do miracles, just like my wife has the authority to use my name in certain financial duties and stuff of that nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Because she is in relationship with me and she bears my name, she is able to do a number of things under my name and under my authority, but only those things which I authorize her to do. Praise God. Now, she can't go out and buy a yacht in my name because I don't authorize her to do that. Amen?
Amen.
But the name of Jesus, apart from any lack of authorization of things that you are not authorized to do, the name of Jesus will bring you power and miracles in your life. And believe me, Jesus has given you almost unlimited authority to use his name. Glory to God.
Amen.
If it's not sinful, he has given you the authority to use that name and bring it about miracles, supernatural intervention in your life and situations. I gave you a number of examples about that last week that I don't want to get into because I want to get into to this lesson today, which is miracles are wrought as a result of believing prayer. Say this with me. Say miracles
are wrought
as a result of believing prayer.
Prayer
is vitally important. You got to learn to pray because prayer is what maintains relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. If you don't pray, that's another reason why you're not necessarily seeing God's supernatural intervention in your life. You've got to learn to get before God, take time out, and pray and spend time with God. And that's where we were talking about in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Right after verse 12, we'll look at it again. It says, and whatsoever, say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
That's unlimited, ain't it? Isn't that unlimited? Yeah, when you say whatsoever, that's almost like a blank check. Jesus says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, if you got my book, How to Get Anything You Want from God, you will see that is unlimited, praise God.
Amen.
But of course, the major limitation is that it has to be done within the character of the name of Jesus. Amen. As we saw, you can't just ask God to give you a kilo of crack cocaine and expect him to do it. Hallelujah. Or, you know, for some of you, well, we won't go there. There's some things I can say, but I don't want to be bad. All right. But Jesus says, whatsoever. And then, in order to emphasize that, he goes on again and he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Say anything.
Amen.
Say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Jesus says whatsoever, and he says anything. Man, that to me is unlimited. That to me means I can claim, well, basically what Jesus said, I can claim whatsoever in his name, and I can ask for anything in his name. Praise God. And he has promised to do it. Now, will he meet my greeds? No, because that's not within his character. But he will supply my needs and my godly desires, and I have big godly desires. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can ask big and expect God to do it, and I am asking big. I am asking God for example, for me, every last one of you should have a dream, praise God.
Amen.
And we want to help you see your dream fulfilled. Some of you may have a desire to be a doctor. Well, Pastor, I haven't even gone to college yet. If you believe that's what God wants you to do, then don't even let that stop you. Praise God.
Amen.
Believe God for the money. Believe God for the schooling. Believe God for his supernatural intervention. But I have a big dream to have to pastor a mega church. Praise God.
Amen.
That is my dream. That is my desire. And I believe God will do it for me. Amen?
Amen.
Now, is it for my ego? No. Please. It's already hard enough pastoring just y'all. To think I would want to pastor thousands of people just on a basis of ego alone is crazy. I want to see more people get saved and be delivered from the flames of hell, praise God.
Amen.
That's why I want a large church and a large ministry, because I want to rescue as many souls from hell as humanly possible, as supernaturally possible, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If it's on the basis of human possibility, then I've already lost. But I can ask anything in his name and he will do it. So we looked at those words, whatsoever and anything. Those include miracles, right?
Yes.
Don't those include miracles?
Yes.
Don't that include supernatural intervention?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, you can expect God to bring healing. You can expect God to bring deliverance. You can expect God to supply all your needs and your godly desires, praise God.
Amen.
I have to emphasize godly desires. In my book, you'll see that we start off with the scripture in Psalm 37, verse 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto him, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
God will bring it to pass if you delight yourself in him. See, when I delight myself in the Lord, I won't want anything stupid or dumb or out of sync with his will for my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So as long as I'm in connection with my Lord, as long as I abide in him and his words abide in me, I can ask whatsoever I will and expect it to be done unto me. That's the way my God works. That's the way he rolls. Now, let's look at another passage of scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. We'll make sure that shows up on the board. Now, I want you to notice in John chapter 14, verse 12. Let me turn back there for a minute. You go on into the Matthew 21. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now Jesus said, the same works that I do, you can do also. And then he goes on to talk about praying. He connects the work that he does with prayer, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus, even though he was God, he is God, he was God while he was on the earth. Praise God. But see, many people think, well, Jesus did these great miraculous works because he was God. Let me tell you something. If that's true, Jesus didn't have any need to pray. But Jesus would spend sometimes all night in prayer. All night. So if Jesus needed to pray, then are we better than our master?
No.
No. If Jesus needed to pray, then you and I must be prayer warriors, praise God.
Amen.
So Jesus prayed and he said that we can do the same things he did, but we've got to do the things that he did, praise God.
Amen.
We can't say, well, I can work miracles because Jesus worked miracles, unless we do the things, we follow the steps that Jesus followed, the formula that Jesus used. Jesus prayed. He spent time with his Father. He had an intimate relationship with his Father. He longed to be in his Father's presence. We've got to learn to long to be in God's presence. It's pretty hard to do when your favorite TV show is on, ain't it? Well, pretty hard to do when you can't get yourself off that computer. Praise God. Amen. You can't get yourself off of Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is that you seem to be addicted to. You cannot have an intimate relationship with Jesus by spending time chatting with your friends online all the time. Praise God. You got to learn to set aside time for God. The television, learn to take that remote control and learn to take that power button and go click and say, I'm going to get on my knees before God. Learn to take that power button on your computer or that mouse and click on the shutdown portion and shut that thing down. Praise God. You've got to learn to spend time with Jesus. You're up all night or up all day or whatever have you, watching TV, watching movie, watching Netflix, watching whatever, and then you get up in the morning and you don't have time to pray, and you say, well, Pastor Troy, I gotta get up early in the morning. I just don't have time to pray. Well, let's cut off the Netflix, praise God. Amen. Let's cut off the midnight movies. Let's learn to get in God's presence and spend time with Him. And you will begin to find out that you have time to do some of the things that you say you don't have time to do. Glory to God. Amen. Stop spending your tithes on Netflix. All right, let's go on to the scripture. As Kenneth Hagin would say, I'm meddling now. All right. Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, look at this, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, say all things.
All things.
Say all things.
All things.
Jesus said all things, didn't he? One scripture, he said whatsoever. Then he said anything, and now he's saying all things. Say all things.
All things.
Oh, glory to God. That's unlimited. All things, whatsoever. Say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Woo! That is unlimited prayer power. I can get anything. I can get whatsoever. I can get all things by believing prayer. Praise God.
Amen.
She said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Say believing.
Believing.
Ye shall receive. You got to believe. If only you believe, all things are possible. If you only believe. See, Jesus was coming from Jerusalem, or he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was hungry. Mark chapter 11 tells the story in a little more detail. He was hungry. He saw a fig tree. He walked up to it and didn't see any figs on it. So he said, you are cursed from this day henceforward. On their way back from Jerusalem, the disciples looked and saw the fig tree and they said, Jesus, the fig tree you cursed is dead. And Jesus, that's when Jesus said, I say unto you, if you have faith, not only can you do the same thing I did to this fig tree, but if you can speak to mountains and command them to be moved, praise God. Jesus tells you that the power of faith and the power of prayer is unlimited. See, y'all don't know what y'all have. By spending time with God in prayer, you get power, glory to God. You get mountain moving power. Now, am I encouraging you to go out and cast out mountains? No. But what I'm saying is there are mountains in your life. There are situations and circumstances that you're constantly facing, and that you can stand on God's word and speak with authority and expect them to be removed. Praise God.
Amen.
You can do that by spending intimate time with your Father, and then when you come out of prayer, you can know that you can get things changed. Praise Jesus. See, because I spend time with my Father, I am so confident in this word. See, this word is easy to preach. It's hard to practice. You hear me? I mean, it's preachable. I remember when I first heard this message, I wanted to preach it so bad. I heard my pastors preach on this, and I wanted to go around and tell everybody. But it was when I ran into situations that I found out, you know what? This stuff don't seem to be working for me. That's because I wasn't believing. Amen. It was just exciting to hear about, but I had to learn to actually stand and put this thing into practice. And when I did that, but it took time for me to really learn to get the heart of my Father. And when I learned to spend time with Him in prayer, then I began to see God do great and miraculous works in my life and in the lives of others. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let me read something to you. We're almost through. And let you go home in a moment. But let me read something to you, because something I wrote, prayer itself assumes that God will intervene if it is expecting an actual answer. And if we are expecting God to actually change something that He would not otherwise do apart from it. In other words, most situations in our lives will not change apart from us asking God to change it. Amen?
Amen.
Some things just won't change unless you ask God to change it. But prayer expects God to change something that would not have otherwise changed apart from you asking Him to do it. Let me read to you a quote by Dr. John Rice. This man is actually a Baptist minister. He says, every time God answers a prayer and brings about something that would not have occurred had we not appealed to God, that means a divine intervention, a controlling of the forces of nature, so that it is not ordinary but extraordinary, not natural but supernatural. It is a miracle for God to intervene in the affairs of men, even to answer prayer. The Christian religion is a miracle religion. I don't believe Christianity is a religion personally, but I understand what he's saying here. Oh, how sad is the state of those who leave out a miracle working God from Christianity today. It's sad when people don't believe that God will actually change something. I heard a quote by a well-known theologian. I'm not going to mention his name. But he says, prayer doesn't change things. Prayer only changes you. Is that true?
No.
No, of course not. Prayer should change you, but it also changes things. Praise God.
Amen.
Prayer changes things. We're going to look at one other scripture and then we're going to close out. But I want you to see that prayer changes things. Jesus Himself said, prayer will change things. He said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. That assumes that if you don't ask, He won't do it. Praise God.
Amen.
The condition for getting it done is to ask in His name. Jesus said, all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That means that if you don't ask, you don't receive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to James chapter 5. Last scripture. So I know y'all just anxious to go home. I appreciate many of you for coming in and doing your religious duty by coming to church. I hope that you stop going just doing that and that you'll actually come here and get something out of the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
I want you to learn to start coming here because you're hungry for God's Word. There's too many people, as we were driving past the Catholic church down the street over here, a lot of people are going to that church to do their religious duty, to do their Mary worship. They feel like they've done their part, they've given their obeisance to God, so now let me sin as much as I need to the rest of the week. I'll sin the rest of the week, I'll come and say my five or six Hail Marys, and I'm done for them, and I'm done again. I don't want y'all to be like that. That's an ungodly pattern. You are here to learn God's word so that you can learn to live it the rest of the week. Praise God.
Amen.
James chapter 5. See, if you come here and you're just bored, it's because you're not hungry. You've got to ask God, if you're not hungry, ask God to give you a spiritual hunger. Ask Him to give you a desire. Don't sit there and say, what's wrong with Pastor Troy? Because I'm anointed, praise God.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging on God. God has anointed me for the work that I do. So if you're bored, if you're not getting anything out of it, it ain't my fault. It is totally yours.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise God. I don't mean to sound angry. I'm not angry. It's just sometimes I gotta be a little hard because you got to wake up. I care about your soul. I really do. I want all of y'all to make it in with me. And many more.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So if sometimes I gotta say some things that make you mad at me for a little bit, but then later on down the road you say, maybe Pastor really was right about that. And I'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I'm teaching you stuff that changed my life. I'm teaching you things that changed me, that has helped me, and that has helped my family. And I'm trying to get this into you so that you can go out and do the great works of God and get some reward. James chapter 5. I want you to see that prayer changes things. And prayer brings miraculous intervention in our lives. Verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Verse 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And look at this. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What's going to save the sick?
Prayer.
What's going to save the sick?
Prayer.
It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. The prayer of faith that delivers the sick. That says that prayer changes things. Prayer changes a sick person into a healthy person. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. In other words, the only way for ye to be healed is for you to pray for one another. Praise God.
Amen.
See, without prayer, no healing. The effectual, look at this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many righteous people do I have here today?
Trying.
You trying? You know Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
All right, then that means you are right. You are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to remember this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm going to have to teach it. Now I say I'm going to have to teach a series on righteousness. You are the right. I want y'all to say this with me. Say, I am.
I am.
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
I may slip.
I may slip.
I may fail sometimes.
I may fail sometimes.
But I remain righteous.
But I remain righteous.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I know I've not reached that pinnacle of perfection where I am flawless and I never sin or make mistakes. Yet I'm striving for that, but even though I've not yet reached that pinnacle of perfection, I continue to declare myself a righteous man, because not because of what I've done, but because of Jesus' blood that's made me righteous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so therefore, if the blood of Jesus has made you righteous, then you qualify for James chapter 5 verse 16. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man or woman availeth much. You are righteous, that means you're effective. Fervent prayer will bring success and will make miraculous changes in your life and your surroundings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's read on. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Glory to God.
Amen.
It reminds me of a time when I was Back then in the military's gotten crazy now, especially the Air Force is telling people that Christians are terrorists just like Muslims, and put Christians on a terrorist watch group. And now the Department of Defense is telling airmen that they're not allowed to declare or proselytize in the name of Jesus anymore. It's gotten crazy over there. But when I was in the Air Force, many, many, many years ago, I won't say how many because I don't want to give away my age. Since I look so young, I don't need y'all to know exactly how really old I am. But anyway, when I was in the Air Force, I was a very vocal Christian, and I was bold about it, and people didn't have any real issue with it, except that they called me a Jesus freak, but that was okay. I could take the insult, hallelujah, for my God. But the thing is that during promotion luncheons, they always asked me to do the prayer. They didn't ask the chaplain or anything like that. They always asked me to come and do the prayer for them. And so it was during one period of time, it hadn't rained, we were in Okinawa, Japan. And it hadn't rained for like 3 months. That's a long time for no rain. And so we were on what they call water rations. That means you can only take a shower every 3 days. Now, when that happens in a hot place like that, you're gonna be around some funky people. You hear me? And so people was getting a little anxious because it's like, you know, man, we can't be doing this shower 1 day, 2 days off type of thing. And so during one of the promotion lunches where I was asked to pray, some of the guys started teasing me, saying, "Well, Sergeant Edwards, won't you pray for some rain? Won't you ask your God to bring some rain?" I said, "Okay, I will." And so when it was my time to pray, I prayed over the guys who got promoted. Then I said, "Father God, we need some rain. It hasn't rained in 3 months." I said, "Show these people that you're real. Bring some rain in Jesus' name." Amen. Amen. So I sat down, ate my free lunch, because I got a free lunch since I did the prayer. And we walked outside. To make a long story short, it was pouring down rain.
Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
See, my Father heard me. Not because I was special, but because of what Jesus has done by making me one of his righteous ones. Praise God.
Amen.
I wouldn't say that I was living the greatest of sinless lives back then. I mean, I was not gangbanging or doing drugs or anything like that, but what I'm just saying is that, you know, I had my periods of time just like y'all do where I was messing up or not doing everything right. But God heard me simply because I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was his child, and I was bold in praying and believing that my Father would actually hear me and do what I asked him to do. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So I sit here today as a testimony that God does miraculous works in our day and in our time, and you can expect him to do it in your life as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. You get anything out of this at all?
Amen.
You're not mad at me, are you?
No.
All right. Praise God. I don't want to be mean. I'm not. Y'all know your pastor's not a mean person. He loves you. If I say something hard, it's only because I love you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.